So there was a time when I was really in love with Fabergé eggs, and I'm still like really fascinated with them. It's a beautiful jewel with a secret key to an opening and another precious jewel and sometimes another. And each jewel creating more awe and fascination all together, a spectacular work of art. Have you guys ever seen one? They're beautiful. And I think that today's gospel is kind of like a Fabergé egg. It is to me. It's a story within a story with other tiny surprises that pop out and give us pause and draw us into wonder. It's layered and nuanced and a fascinating jewel, not just for a glass case in a museum, but for us to pick up and look at all the sides of it and be fascinated with it and be inspired by it. What a precious gift today's gospel is. Jesus had just sailed back to the Jewish side of the water, possibly Capernaum. He'd been on the Gentile side of the Sea of Galilee and Gerasa or Gergasa, depending on which gospel you read. And he'd been over there exercising demons and hanging out with a whole herd of swine and being asked to leave town because his miracle worked a little too good for the Gerasene swine herds. Now he's on the move, and there are once again crowds gathered to see him, big crowds. Jairus, leader at the local synagogue, frantically approaches Jesus, asking, no, begging for a miracle. Just proof that not all Jewish leaders were opposed to Jesus. And this guy really believes that he can save his daughter, who is very, very sick. And they start for Jairus' house. And on the way, our story contains a little hidden button where another story pops up. A woman that has had some very significant hemorrhaging problems for years. She's tried everything. She's spent all of her money. She's desperate. So desperate that she reaches out her hand, hoping beyond all hope. And Jesus is walking in this big crowd, and they're all moving so fast. And she reaches out her hand to try to touch him, but he's just too far. And she says to herself, if I could just touch his cloak, I'll be healed. And she stretches out her hand as far as she can, and she just grazes his clothes. Now, I'm sure that a lot of people touched Jesus on a daily basis, considering that there were so many people around him. But I bet not all of them had a miraculous experience when touching him. Maybe they did. But here's the hidden jewel inside this hidden jewel of a story. Jesus didn't see the woman that wanted to be healed. And the woman that wanted to be healed didn't yell out or put an ad in the newspaper that she wanted to be healed. But when the woman touched just the outer garment of Jesus, there occurred, in my estimation, a faith-activated miracle. Jesus, the divine Son of God, his power, no doubt, healed the hemorrhaging woman. But it wouldn't have happened at all if the woman had not touched him, not reached out as far as she could, hoping for healing. She activated his power. She made the miracle happen through believing. Jesus immediately knew something was up because he could feel that his power had been tapped into. And he asked his disciples, who give kind of a smart alecky answer, right? You know, they answer, for goodness sake, Jesus, there are tons of people out here. How in the world are we supposed to know who touched you? And that's my voice for the disciples and Mark. Because Mark is not very kind to the disciples, right? The other gospelers kind of are nicer. They kind of glaze over the bonehead disciples. But the woman fesses up. She says, it was me. And then she explains herself. And here's that jewel that's buried deep inside the other jewels. Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Now, the jewel here is not necessarily that her faith made her well, because we as readers behind the scenes of the story know that her faith is what activated the miracle that healed her. Our hidden surprise is that he called her daughter. So do you remember a few weeks ago when Jesus' family was thinking that he had gone nuts and they were trying to get him to come home and he was in a big crowd of people? And he said to his family, "These are my mother and my sisters and my brothers," all the people that were sitting around him in faith. And Jesus' powers and the faith and action of a poor and outcast woman have made her part of this family. She is a daughter, just like Jesus is a son, and just like we're all children of God. He's not mad at her, even though he's in a rush to save a dying girl. He could have just kept on going, but he stops, and he calls this woman that the community no longer values. He calls her daughter. This woman that no one wants to be tied to, Jesus calls her the same word for the precious girl that the community is so concerned about, the daughter of Jairus. So our Fabergé egg gospel does not stop there. So Jesus keeps going to Jairus' house. And remember, that's how our whole egg story got started this morning. Jesus had no sooner welcomed a new member of the family than someone runs to Jairus and the disciples and says, "It's too late. Jairus' daughter has died, and there's nothing that we can do now." But here's another hidden gem. Because Jesus says, "Do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe." And when he gets to the house, leaving the crowd and most of his disciples behind, he says, "She's not dead, she's only sleeping." Now these words must have sounded mocking to grieving parents and relatives. I can only imagine how the mother would feel and how that father would feel, hoping beyond all hope and sending for a man that performs miracles to heal their sick daughter, only to not get him there in time, to miss her death by minutes. And they must feel so defeated. But then Jesus touches her hand and he breaks the hold of death. Jesus takes the dead girl by the hand and he says, "Little girl, get up." And she does. And she's not just sitting up, but she's walking around. She's walking around the room. And the group gathered by her sickbed now erupts in joy and amazement. And here's the last little jewel in this egg, the last little nugget of wonder. Jesus, the Son of God, the man who has a huge crowd about him, the man who walks on water and heals the sick and banishes demons and raises the dead, also is a human, and he's keenly aware and compassionate. And he tells the people around the girl to get her something to eat. I mean, I can only imagine the joy of all these people, and then they've forgotten that she's really hungry. He recognizes that her illness has made her weak, and he has compassion and the practical and loving advice, like he's a member of the family, like she's a member of the family. The gospel passage today is not like any other, and although others are precious, but this jewel of many layers is so incredibly valuable. Because we see Jesus as someone who captured the imagination of many of his early followers, just like he does for us today. And although through Mark's brilliant storytelling, we see this unlimited treasury of spiritual wonder and wealth, we still discover more every time we read it. We have a window to peer into how miracles work, how Jesus performed miracles and what they meant, the strength of faith, the compassion of our Lord. And this story is not to be collected to catch dust, but to pull us into miracles that we can participate in as members of the family of God. Through Christ, we're all jewels and we're all valuable. Even the poor and outcast, we're precious and worthy of a relationship with God. And through our faith in Christ, we are part of the story. Through faith, we can create compassionate change. And through faith, we can activate miracles. If only we are willing to stretch out as far as we can and to really listen to the words of Jesus. Do not fear, but believe. Amen.